The work of missions at Kabote Baptist Church didn't really commence as a result of theological reflection. It was an answer to an SOS call. We were involved quite a lot in helping a church that was almost closing down in Choma, Central Baptist Church there. So the initial work we're involved in, as you can already see, was not really theological reflections, what we ought to do, let's go. It was churches, individuals coming to us saying, please help us, and we felt this is our responsibility, let's do it. And it's from there, therefore, that the missions work has grown. From there, we have involved ourselves in more strategic planning, where we try to fill up all the provincial capitals and the major cities. From there, we've also had an internship program where when we get interns, it's with a deliberate view towards sending them out as missionaries. We then have a church in Choma, we've got a church in Monze, we've got a church in Mazabuka, and we have a church in Kafue. We have just commenced a church further up, just before you go into Tanzania, called Mvala, that's the name of the town. A cluster of God's people there, a number of whom have come from Kawata Baptist Church, have only recently met, covenanted, and asked us if we could provide oversight. But between here and Chipata, we've got a church in Nyimba, a church in Petauke, a church in Sinda, a church in a little village called Chitawe, and then also a church in Katete. So those are the churches that we've planted. You can understand why I said I stopped at continent. You know, they're quite a number, and we have a number of interns again that we're thinking about where they should go to. So a few more church plants are likely to come up soon. Mm-hmm. places where we have our churches are not really pioneer situations. It's not places where people don't know the name Jesus Christ. But it's places where there is no or hardly present a church where you have doctrinal clarity, where you have regular expository teaching, where you have church life after the New Testament pattern. You know, a lot of what are called churches, and I think they are churches, but have moved so far away from the biblical norms that if you've ever been exposed to anything biblical, you grieve that there are so many people in churches, but they're basically surviving on watery porridge, if porridge at all. So having one good, solid church in the midst of that community, you are planting a work that's going to be having a salting and lighting effect. I would say, first of all, prayer. Now, sometimes when a person says that, it almost looks like it's just an introduction. It's really going to quickly move into finances. But experience has taught us, with so many churches that we are planting at the moment, that our ultimate dependence is not so much on the finances, but on the Lord Himself. And the Lord is able to do much more abundantly, exceedingly beyond what we're able to ask or even imagine. So really, it's for brethren to be praying for us. The second, of course, is finances. We realize that, you know, we live in different economic setups, and some countries are better off than ours. And it's good for us to always think in terms of how can we partner together. So certainly, yes, we'd like to encourage sister churches around the world to see us as an avenue of investment. That let's throw our weight into the work of missions. That's what church is all about. It's about subduing the earth. It's about multiplying in order to subdue the earth. And I would like to see that before God calls me to glory, that the 30 to 40 churches that we have at the moment can be 400 churches. That sounds like a wild dream, but you know, all you need to do is, if each of these 40 churches plants 10, and if we've already planted so many, why can't we plant another 10 in the next 10 years? And if each one does the same thing, you've got 400 solid churches across Zambia, in the region, and so forth. You know, may the Lord, at that point, as old Simeon said, you know, take me, I've seen your glory. One other area of challenge is just answering the call to missions. I'm not sure where the impression has been created that you first of all have to have everything in place financially before you can say, Lord, okay, now take me where you want me to go. You should already have your retirement home in place. You should have enough money in the bank to take your children through college and university. All your finances are in place, then Lord, I can serve you. I'm not sure where this is coming from, but I can't help picking it up everywhere. And sometimes I ask the question, maybe it's those of us who are ministers at the moment who give the impression we are suffering so badly financially. Don't come and join us. We made a major mistake. First, have all the money in place, then come out. I hope that's not the impression we're giving. I often look my wife in the face and we look at each other and say, now, is this the impression we're giving to people? I hope not. The Lord takes care of us. And yes, there have been pockets where we've been without. But those periods have made us better Christians because we've trusted Him more and so forth. So I'm not convinced that we don't have people in our church who don't have a sense of calling. Or maybe let me make it a positive statement. I'm convinced that we've got individuals at Kawata Baptist Church on whose heart God is knocking, saying, I'd like you to get out there and do work. I don't doubt that. But I think it's this issue of money. And really, my appeal to people who are struggling like that is, trust the Lord. I'd like to speak on His behalf. To borrow the words of David, I was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. When the Lord gives you that little period when you're almost despairing and you cry to Him, it's simply to teach you to trust in Him. And when He comes through, He comes through in such an incredible way, you are amazed at what the Lord is doing. In fact, our own experience, my wife and I, is that when the Lord is dealing with us and we say, okay, let's give away this, because He's dealing with us, not because we are extra generous of ourselves, but because He's dealing with us, and we do that, within a month at the most, He gives us so much that it's almost like, wow, aren't we glad we obeyed Him? If we had been stubbornly saying, well, look, until we have something in place first, would have never known the joy of the way in which the Lord provides. And that's really the appeal that I like to make to KBC members. As you can see, I'm taking longer on this because that's where my passion is. Pray for the men who are out there laboring, our missionaries. They are our foot soldiers, they are our frontline soldiers. That's where the war is thickest. They've got their own needs, which I often think about and pray for, and it would be too much to try and lay them out, but do pray for our missionaries. I look forward to every January when the troops come in and I spend time with them, not as the general of the army, but as a fellow soldier, just appreciating. They've got family needs, some of them have to do with illnesses. I've written some about the extended family system. A number of them are really looking after, you know, so many around them. So in the midst of laboring to get a church off the ground. So really do pray for them. Pray for fruit in their ministries, conversions, because ultimately that's what church planting is. You're not trying to steal sheep from elsewhere. You want fresh recruits coming into the army. So pray for them that they may see conversions from their labors. Also, still with them, pray for them to be very clear as to what priorities they should have. In the midst of the demands in a community and in the family circle, it's easy for them to get sidetracked. Even the community wants them to play certain important roles in society, and it's easy for them to become little chiefs rather than fiery evangelists. So do pray that God would enable them to do that. I've also said that a number of our churches are maturing towards independence. Again, just pray for that whole process so that the work can become completely indigenous, functioning on its own, and we can move on and look elsewhere. It's never completely easy to go through that process, and it demands humility for everybody and at the same time courage. So pray for that. Pray also for ourselves as Kawata Baptist Church in the realm of giving. We always want to be the primary givers towards the work of missions rather than simply receiving finances from elsewhere. And so just continue praying for that, that our people will grow in that respect. They are already doing a lot more than I know other churches to be doing, at least in the Zambian context. But we still have potential to do more, so pray for that. Pray also for our own men, with the encouragement of their wives, to answer the call to missions. It's such a glorious calling that you know, to see so few rising to it makes me really want to hold some brethren by the collars and say, "Are you blind? Look at you, silly, wake up." Pray that God will remove the scales from so many of our men. We have some very good preachers at Kawata Baptist Church who, you know, to see them preaching, you know, once every 2 to 3 months is a real waste. I mean, they could handle a pulpit every week and grow a church, and just pray that the Lord will move them into that kind of phase. So those would be the major prayer requests. I mean, pray for us as elders as well. We are the center of things. We need to keep all the systems going and keep the agenda of missions as a priority. So pray for us that we'll continue to do that.